Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. O come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Salvation is in the presence of the righteous, the right hand.
The lection for this evening is recorded for us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, beginning with the first verse. We read, "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, which is across from Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead, as far as Dan, all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the south and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, 'This is the land of which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not cross over there.' So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses ended." Here ends the lection.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Not until we get to heaven will we know what Moses was thinking as he looked out from that mountaintop onto the land promised by God, the land stretching from Galilee in the north to the desert south, from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea. This was the land God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob generations ago, centuries ago. This tiny strip of land, 70 miles wide, 150 miles long. The people of Israel, this great nation now, were about to enter this promised land. God had promised it, and God is true and always keeps his word. But Moses would not enter this land. Moses was 120 years old. Mind-boggling to us. Humanly speaking, Moses should not have lived this long. Recall how Pharaoh had ordered all the male Hebrew children to be killed in Egypt. We do not know the hour of our death, whether we are 2 or 20 or 120. God knows the time that is best for us. God thwarted Pharaoh's wicked plans and raised up Moses as the great deliverer for the people of Israel in the land of Egypt. God blessed Moses with wisdom and education in the Egyptian palace. He blessed him even more through the word and promise passed on through his family, the word and promise of the Savior to come. God blessed Moses with health and long life. Moses was 120 years old, and yet it says his eyes were not dim. He could see that whole land, nor his natural vigor diminished. Another blessing from God. God blessed Moses in so many ways. He is often described as the servant of God, the servant of the Lord Yahweh. But Moses' life was the same existence as for all Christians, the paradox of being saint and sinner at the same time. Moses, the servant of the Lord, sinned. He disobeyed God. One particular incident indicates this. At God's command, Moses was to speak to the rock and provide water for the Israelites in the wilderness. Moses believed that God would do this. But he spoke in anger to the people, making it sound as though he would provide water for them instead of God. "Must we bring forth water for you out of this rock?" He believed God, and yet he didn't give God all the glory and credit for this miracle. So God spoke his judgment. Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Here on the top of Mount Nebo, across from Jericho, he could see the land, but could not enter it. How tantalizing. How did he feel? Was Moses angry? Probably not. Was Moses repentant? Certainly. Was Moses thankful? Surely he had to glorify God for fulfilling his promises to the people of Israel. Moses had to be happy for them, this people that he had offered his own life if God would spare them. Moses had to be happy for them as a parent is proud to see a child enter college, get married, have a child, or whatever happy occasion you can think of. But all of these earthly happinesses shall fade away in comparison to the glory awaiting us in the permanent promised land, the one that lasts forever. The land of Canaan, flowing with milk and honey, brought many benefits and blessings to the people of God. Wealth, fame, prosperity, a homeland. But it also brought them war, temptation, captivity, and oppression. Just like our earthly life. We have so many happy times that God gives us. But there are always temptations, sadnesses, sorrows, conflicts. A good reminder of what the writer to the Hebrews says here. Here on earth we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. In a sense, Moses had worked all his life to come to the point of bringing Israel to the promised land. And perhaps to us it seems disappointing that he didn't get to enjoy this bountiful country. Here on earth, Moses had no continuing place at all. For the writer even tells us, and God buried him in the valley of the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, but no one knows his grave to this day. We don't even really know where Moses was buried. But Moses inherited something better than land or wealth or earthly fame. He trusted that ultimate promise of God, the promise of the Savior who would redeem us from the world, redeem us from sin, from death, and from Satan. Hebrews tells us in a very wonderful way, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Moses' reward is in heaven. There he now dwells with God and converses with him face to face even more than he did here on this earth, as the scriptures describe it. We know that Moses dwells in heaven because he appears again in the New Testament. When Jesus went up on that mountain and was transfigured, when his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as bright as light, two men appeared beside him, speaking about the upcoming death and resurrection of Christ. Those two men were Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah in their glorified appearance, their heavenly appearance, to give us a glimpse of what heaven will be for us. And St. John in Revelation, that last book of the Bible that gives the beautiful descriptions of heaven, tells us what we will sing in heaven. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God. They sing the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. We don't know how or when our time will come. We may live to be 20, We may live to be 120. But we know that God, in his grace and mercy, will then bring us to not just to see the promised land, but to enter it and enjoy it to the fullest. That beautiful city with streets of gold. That beautiful city with trees that blossom every month. That beautiful city with the river of life. Blessed are you in the faith of Moses, because God has blessed you with the faith of Moses, faith in Christ, our eternal Redeemer. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.